You're listening to pastor-teacher Robert Thornton Henderson. Robert Henderson's book titles are available at Amazon.com.
Our children are going to be leaving us now for their time. Good luck. I sometime would like to have a showing of hands of how many of you distinguished looking adults were mischievous little kids. There are a few of us out there. We need to pray for them and for ourselves, for the effective working of God in their lives and ours. So let us pray. God of glory, whose hallelujahs we have just sung, we do pray for these little ones, that with all of the mischief and the fun and the many ideas that are in their little heads, you will also give grace for them to hear the word of your love in Jesus Christ. And so cause your gospel to come also to us this day, not just in spoken word, but in your transforming grace and power. For we ask it through Christ. Amen. Christian Education Sunday, we've commissioned these Christian nurture folk. One thing we need to stop and look at occasionally is what's going on here, what this church is built on. You know, the thing about having Bibles in the pews and talking about it being the Word of God, the danger is to forget who's on the other end of that Word, who speaks it, whose Word it is. When Betty and I were rearing our children, we sort of had a little rule with them that when we said something to them by way of instruction that called for a response, we would say it once and assume they heard it. In grace, we might say it a second time, peradventure they had not heard or understood. But as we said to them, after that, it's an argument, and we're not going to argue. When a word is given, a word that comes from one who has the authority to speak it, then the response is to be a response of acknowledgement and obedience. On this Christian Education Sunday, it's good for us to stop and look at that the church is not a fun and games proposition. Sometimes we image the church as some genteel religious association with a no-risk clause written in. So you can come and take it or blow it off and there are no consequences. But what you need to stop and look at is that God calls the church by His authoritative word. He calls each of us individually into a new relationship under His lordship. He creates us and recreates us and forms us as His church, His dwelling place by the Holy Spirit, and works in us by His word and by His Spirit. He works in us by impressing upon us and forming us by the words of Holy Scripture. Now, you need to stop and just look at that, because the Spirit of God is not some religious effervescence. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of holiness, the sovereign Spirit who is one with the Father and the Son and lives in an identity of integrity with the Father and the Son. And He is the one who is at work in us by the word that He also has been the agent in producing. Are you with me? His word and His energy, whereby the heart and mind of the living God are made clear to us, and whereby we are enabled to live them out. Now, what is our response? Stop a minute. You see, you can believe that and take that seriously and learn it and apply it and be formed, be changed by that word. See? You can be like a house built upon a rock who hears the word that Christ has spoken and does it. Or, see, we're people with wills. Free wills. Or we can give lip service to it and blow it off and be casual about it and agree with the scriptures when they are convenient and ignore them when they are not. But that doesn't let us off the hook. The church, this church, you just heard these teachers take a vow to study scriptures. Every one of these elders has taken a vow to believe that they're the Word of God. I have. But the church and the scriptures take God and His Word seriously and understand that God, the living God, holds us accountable. And, brothers and sisters, will finally judge us by the Word that He has made known to us. And that's sobering. That's why I simply want to state a principle that is not said often, that the Word of God is not only life-giving, it is perilous. Now, are you beginning to get the seriousness of what I'm talking about? Anybody? This week, I watched an old movie. Some of y'all saw it years ago. The Shoes of the Fisherman. Anthony Quinn, you remember that, was an archbishop in Russia and was in a labor camp in Siberia, and through a little conniving between the premier of the Soviet Union and the Pope, he was released and taken to Rome because the premier wanted to have some connection inside the Vatican. And the story goes, this archbishop is made a cardinal, and when the Pope dies, then this little college of cardinals makes him the Pope, first Russian Pope. And it's very interesting because what he's faced with right away are very intractable problems. Things he meets with personally inside the Vatican, things he meets with on the streets of Rome, and an international thing he's into between China and the Soviet Union that have no solutions. And in his investiture as the Pope and that pageantry and St. Peter's, he takes off the papal crown and assumes the role of servant and quotes 1 Corinthians 13 about love. And then makes an announcement that he's going to divest the Catholic Church of its luxuries in order to meet human need. But behind all of that, what is poignant in that story is how much the Pope realizes that he is the custodian of the faith of the Church, that he is the steward of God's revelation. Is that person who sits as the father of all those hundreds of millions of Roman Catholics and the church at large. I say that because that's true. He is, and I, as your pastor teacher, am a steward and a custodian, but no, that doesn't stop there. Every one of us, every day, in everything we touch and do and think, are stewards and custodians of the alive Word of God that God has made clearly known to us. Now, there's a lot of mystery in Scripture and a lot of room for intellectual struggles in its interpretation. But as our Westminster Confession says, the plain sense of the text is there so that the simplest and most unlettered person can get the message. And we are all stewards of that. Now, conversely, this week also, I read, and many of you read, in Friday's Times News, George Cornell's column about religion in America, from a whole study that George Barna did about religion in America. And his conclusion is that America is undergoing a revival of religion, but it's not a revival of Christianity. It's this garbled mess of people who profess to be Christians, who obviously do not know the Word of God, who adopt here a piece of Oriental religion, here a piece of New Age stuff, people who belong to organizations that are contrary to the whole Christian faith, all pieces of all religion is good and all gods are the same. Just all of this mishmash of syncretism, which says that somehow all of these hundreds of millions of people who profess to be Christians somehow have never been formed by the alive Word of God. Now, how does this happen? What goes wrong to cause the church that is ostensibly the steward and the custodian of the treasures of God's alive word to forget it and miss the point. Well, somehow the Spirit of God and the Word of God get displaced in our busyness over all kinds of other good things, displaced by fun church activities and charismatic personalities and the busy work of running a church institution, all that kind of thing, so that on this Christian Education Sunday, I simply want us to stop and look at a few scriptures quickly and realize that God's Word is alive and we're accountable to it. If you'll take a Bible just for a minute, I'm not going to have time to read all these like I would like to, but I want to digest them for you. 1 Peter 1. I want you to look at here in verse 3, in this passage by the Apostle Peter, he says to these Christians, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth unto a living hope." At the end of that passage, over in the 23rd verse, he says that that new birth is not something you did yourself. You are born again, he says, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. Other words, we come into newness by the dynamic of the Holy Spirit working through the Word that opens our eyes and energizes us to become new creatures in Christ. And in between those two passages, he makes the point very clear that this is the work of God speaking through the prophets. This is the work of God working over the years to make Himself known to the fathers and the prophets and through Jesus Christ. And if you look in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, prepare your minds." In other words, this is not a mindless kind of a faith. Prepare your minds for action. And he gives some instructions. In verse 14, he says, "In that process, as obedient children, do not conform." Just don't get snookered in by all the evil desires and all the garbage around you like you did when you lived in ignorance. So he sets a distinction, ignorance and the disciplined mind under the Word of God. Verse 15, "But just as He who called you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do." Holiness, a life that is lived in harmony with God, where our thinking and our behavior is a result of our relationship to God Himself. You got that one? Holy people, that's what we're to be. Holy people. Turn over to 2 Peter 1. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 16, Peter again, another letter, says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories." The Bible is not a bunch of mishmash. He goes on to say again, the dynamic of God Himself speaking to men and women, eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. He speaks in verse 19 of the word of prophecy made more certain. Now, there are other scriptures I could read. I could read to you 2 Timothy, that all scriptures are God-breathed. I could read to you from Hebrews, where it says, the Word of God is like a sharp and two-edged sword that exposes and divides and makes everything plain. Nothing is hidden from God, the alive Word of God. But I want to read one more. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians, there are people who make the comment without thinking that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are different. The God of the Old Testament is a vindictive old God, and the one of the New Testament is full of love and mercy. But the most horrible verse, and maybe where my text comes from today or my sermon title, is 2 Thessalonians 1. And what I want you to notice here is that he's talking about a day of judgment, when it all comes out in a wash. Verse 5, "And this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. And this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels." And notice what he says. "He will punish those who do not know God and do not," what? "Do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people. Now that sets two kinds of people out there. Those who hear it, don't appropriate it, don't obey it, and those dear ones of God who may be suffering but who know and obey, God's saints. Now, brothers and sisters, I give you that sobering word because that's the way it is. It is God who is speaking. It is not a word that we can trifle with. We are very blessed. Someone was laughing in Friday morning prayers that one of those Russian papers of Izvestia or Pravda can't print papers anymore, so they're printing Bibles for the public schools in the Soviet Union because the political leaders know that that crazy, messed up nation needs a moral base. We have it and blow it off. We're accountable. We are stewards, custodians of the treasures of God. Every bit as much as my Russian Pope in the movie was, God does not argue. So what we have celebrated here this day is what we're all about. Christian nurture is no mere activity in the church. It is equipping the people of God in the Word of God to be accountable to God. And to be free in God, to rejoice in God, and to be God's holy people. I give you that word in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now will you go forth into the Monday morning world as the stewards of the alive Word of God, given to us in grace and in love, and given to us to hold us accountable, and go in that freedom. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you in that ministry. Amen.